Why?
Why?
Why did Jesus come to earth?
Why forsake the majesty and fellowship of heaven?
Exchanging a palace for a stable.
Immortal comforts for a feeding trough.
And robes of glory for the feeble body of an infant.
An unparalleled irony, this supreme, unrivaled nobility experiencing absolute and total humility.
Our sovereign God, Emmanuel, as a baby.
He didn't come to heap shame upon sinners, or to judge and cast out the impious, but to break bread with those called unrighteous.
He didn't come to illuminate every mystery of the cosmos or to enlighten the intellectual, but to fulfill the testimony of prophets clothed in rags.
He didn't come to elevate a single nation or to advocate a particular political affiliation. He came because he saw you, broken, in need of salvation.
He saw you lost and abandoned, crying out, surrounded by deaf ears, fighting through the tears, but beaten down by the torments of this world.
And unable to bear your distress, he renounced his eternal throne,
walked the earth,
bore the stripes,
accepted the nails,
and gave up his last breath,
so that you could receive the breath of life.
Holy, infinite God,
beheld your pain,
perceived your heart,
and determined that your soul was worth dying for.
From the manger to the cross to the empty tomb,
it is all a story of profound love, of a Savior who rescued his children from darkness.
Of a blameless king who declared that no sacrifice was too great for the sake of his beloved creation.
Why did Jesus come to earth?
He came for you.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see so many of you here tonight. Just really want to take this moment to welcome those of you who are here as guests. We love having guests and trust you've been blessed already through the worship and through the video and hopefully through the Word of God, which we're about to hear. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. You know, Christmas is such a focal point of the year. But how we view it often changes as we get older or depending on what's happening in our lives. When I was little, there was nothing better than Christmas and the excitement of opening presents and seeing what I got was certainly next level. But, you know, as you get older, the enthusiasm for gifts, it tends to change quite a bit, I'd say. But then the value of being together with family and friends takes on more importance. And then as you have kids, for those of you that do, you know that there's a new level of joy that comes at their excitement. But sometimes Christmas can feel quite draining and like it's not all that it's cracked up to be. It can be a very busy season and one of feeling the pressure of finding gifts and going to parties and getting the house ready to be invaded by your family. I remember when I was a kid, I spent a few Christmas days quite sick. Not because of a flu bug, but because of my grandfather who liked to spoil his grandchildren. My sister and I grew up in a home where I guess we probably didn't have a lot of extra money for treats, I suppose, and my mother was one of those mothers who is very careful about how much sugar her children had. We rarely chewed gum, and if we did, it had to be sugar-free. I think when I was growing up, I was convinced that Hubba Bubba must have been made by the devil himself. But man, was it delicious when my friends would slide me a piece every now and then. My mom would go shopping for groceries. We lived in Swan River, Manitoba at the time, and she would go shopping for groceries once a week at the local co-op. And if my sister Tracy and I were really well behaved, she just might buy us one of those tiny little boxes of Chiclets. If you're old enough to remember, it had two Chiclets in it. And they had sugar in them, and so even when we ate them, it was borderline sinning. Let's just say we didn't have much of a sugar tolerance built up. And it was great for my teeth. My dentist always raved about how great my teeth were, and I never had a cavity until I was almost 20 years of age. But it was not so good for preparing me for Christmas with Grandpa Norman Wells. You see, there was always plenty of chocolates and candy at Grandpa and Grandma Wells' house for Christmas. And I remember my mom would say to my grandpa, "That's enough, Norman, you're going to make him sick," when he would give me some. But my grandpa and I, we had one of those special connections that grandsons have with their grandpas. And when my mom's head would turn, Grandpa Norman would put his hand in the chocolates, he'd give me a little wink, and he'd add one and go. And it was our little secret. Until Christmas morning, when my head was in the toilet as my stomach expelled the foreign sugar poison that exposed us both. And despite my mom's reminder the next year, reminding us what had happened the Christmas before, it did repeat itself more than one time. Christmas wasn't all joy and what I anticipated going in. Now, this is just a little humorous story about my struggles with Christmas that obviously were really insignificant. But I know that for some, Christmas is really difficult, and it doesn't feel like all it's cracked up to be. Perhaps some of you have lost a spouse this past year, or even a child, and this particular Christmas has been one, or feels like one, of real sorrow. I know that there are some of you here tonight that are probably feeling lonely, fighting off discouragement, feeling, some real struggles for lots of different reasons, which sure doesn't make this time feel like one of joy. I recently read a friend's post on Facebook that he was having a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit this year, he said. He was expressing some of the things that are going on in the world around him and just in his own life, and he said it just didn't feel quite in the mood. When I asked Andrew, who led us in worship here tonight, what he was planning for this service, he said, "I want the theme tonight to be one of celebration and joy," which seems like a pretty stark contrast to what I've just described. You know, in all honesty, this week I had a couple moments where I felt more like the guy whose post I read than feeling celebratory. But then when I looked at the Christmas story through this lens of looking for the joy in the story, I saw something really clearly. This theme of joy is all through the Christmas story, and it's an emphasis of almost every character that you find in it. In Luke 1, where the account of the birth of Christ is told to us in great detail, the story begins with an angel visiting a man named Zechariah, who is a Jewish priest. He had been faithful to God along with his wife, and yet they had grown old and had no children. It had produced a lot of pain in their lives, a lot of sorrow for them. But in Luke 1, verse 11, it says, "While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and he was overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you're to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many are going to rejoice at his birth.'" And the angel goes on to say how this son of theirs is actually going to prepare people for the coming Messiah.
In verse 24, it says, soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. A few verses later, the same angel visits Mary with the message, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Well, when Mary hears the word, she says, she has faith and she says, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. And then she excitedly runs to see Elizabeth, who is actually her relative and who is now in her 6th month of pregnancy. And when she greets Elizabeth, the baby in her womb hears the voice of Mary and leaps within her. Elizabeth said to Mary, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. And when Mary heard that, she herself burst into a song of praise. Later, when the angels appeared to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the angel said to them, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And at this announcement, suddenly the heavens, the skies were open, and this vast choir of angels was there and burst into a song of praise to God. The shepherds rushed to the baby and returned to the flocks after what they had seen. And the Bible says they were glorifying and praising God for it all. Later, when Jesus was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord, an old man named Simeon was there. You see, the Lord had promised this guy that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And that day when Jesus was in the temple, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, spoke to him, said, go to the temple. And when he saw Jesus there, it says, he took him in his arms and began praising God, saying, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. He's rejoicing. Then at this time, Anna, who's 84 years old and a prophet who lived in the temple, she comes by just as all of this is happening. And when she hears about it, she begins to praise God and tells everyone she meets about Jesus. If there is one clear theme through this story, it is the theme of great joy. And I think, church, we would do well to be drawn back to it tonight. The circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus and the circumstances of all these characters, when you read about it, they weren't easy ones. Life was hard. There had been disappointment. There had been painful waiting. The Jews were under the oppression of the Romans. Joseph and Mary, you know the story, even around Jesus' birth, the awkwardness of trying to explain the virgin birth. The baby's born in a barn. And yet, in the middle of this pain and confusion, there came great joy. The birth of Jesus was so significant that everything else just seemed to fade into the background. He represented hope in the middle of all this mess. And church, in the middle of everything that is happening in your life today, I want to remind you that you can have joy tonight because of Jesus. I want to give you a couple reasons why. The first reason why you can have joy tonight is that Jesus is a present help. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years earlier about Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, he said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel has always been for me one of the most meaningful names of God for me. The name Emmanuel means God with us. And sometimes we forget, and I forget, that Jesus is right here. He's right here with us. He's right beside us. He's not a God who's at arm's length. He is not a God who is unaware of our needs and our pain. He knows your struggle. And I tell you tonight, he cares. His coming as a man to join us in our suffering was the ultimate proof. He left his heavenly throne, literally put on flesh so he could redeem us from the chains of sin and show us just how much he loved us. He came near to the lowly of spirit. He touched the leper. He held the children. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cried. He laughed. He was moved with compassion. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And today he still is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He still invites the weary to come to him to find rest. The psalmist declared in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. In the Old Testament, we are told the story of a time when three Hebrew boys ended up being thrown into a fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to a heathen idol. You would have thought they would have been burned to death, but there was a fourth man who appeared in the fire. It was Jesus himself standing with them in the fire, and they weren't burned. And I want to tell you, church, he walks beside us today in the midst of every fiery trial we go through as well. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, for God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? My friends, even in your difficult circumstances, you can rejoice. You know why? Because Jesus is Emmanuel. He is the God who is with us. The second reason why we can have joy tonight is that not only is Jesus our present, present help in trouble, but he is our future hope. When John was born, his father, Zechariah, at that moment was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to prophesy about his son John and prophesy about Jesus as well. And this is what he said about Jesus. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior. In verse 78, he said, because of God's tender mercy, he's prophesying, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. My friends, our greatest reason to have joy is that God sent his son Jesus to be our mighty Savior. Zechariah talked about how the mercy of God was about to break upon us and give light to those who sit in darkness. And there is something that each and everyone has to understand tonight, and that is this. Every single one of us in this room tonight needs a mighty Savior. You know, there are some who don't realize they need a mighty Savior. And there are many people who place their future hope in their own righteousness and their own goodness, thinking one day I'll stand before a God and I'll be okay because I'll tell him how great I was. And they aren't aware of what John was prophesying, that they are sitting in darkness and they need a light to come upon them. My friends, the Bible shows us one thing very clearly, that we are all sinners, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, that there is not one who is good, not even one, Paul said in Romans. The Bible describes the fact that our sin has separated us from God, damned us for all eternity. But there was a reason why Zechariah rejoiced. He rejoiced because he realized that God hadn't abandoned creation in its sin. In his mercy, he was about to send his son like a light from heaven who was going to shine upon the darkest soul. He sent his son as a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer. He sent him to die on our behalf. We celebrate his birth, but it was his death that changed everything. He not only joined us in our suffering, but he took all of our sin and our shame upon himself and died in our place. He experienced the wrath of God on the cross that should have been poured out on you and me. The Bible says this, that he who knew no sin, this was Jesus, became sin. He literally became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus took all of your sin and my sin and stood there, even though he was sinless, in God in our place, in front of God in our place, literally sin, and gave us his righteousness. God treated Jesus as he should have treated us and treats us as he should have treated Jesus. It was mercy, unimaginable. He offered us righteousness and forgiveness. He came to save us so that we could spend eternity with him. You see, my friends, no matter what happens in this life, if you have Jesus, you have a future hope. A hope of an eternity in heaven with our Father God. Well, how do you receive Jesus as your Savior? I'll tell you what, it's very simple. You just make room in your heart for Jesus. You know, when Jesus was born, you know the story, there was no room for him. And in many people's lives, there's no room for Jesus. But I'll tell you something, if you don't make room in your heart for Jesus, you will die in your darkness. But there is a light sent from heaven, who has come to shine in the dark places of our soul and remove the sin that pollutes our heart. And if we will open our heart and say, Jesus, I need a Savior, then that light will shine on the inside of us. My friends, this is why we rejoice tonight with great hope. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive the light of Jesus tonight. You know, there is no better night than Christmas Eve than to make Jesus your Savior. And maybe you came through the doors tonight because you like to get into the Christmas spirit and sing a few carols or whatever it is. You came with some friends and family. But if you don't know Jesus tonight, if you're still sitting in darkness, don't go out these doors without receiving the light that has come. The light is there for every one of us. It will shine in every heart. You just have to open up your heart and say, Jesus, come on in. And so before we go home tonight, I want you to just bow your heads with me, and I want to close tonight in prayer and a prayer of salvation. And I want to give you the opportunity to just come before Jesus and acknowledge your need for him, your need for a Savior, and invite him to come into your heart, to shine his light in your life, and to make that exchange, your sin for his righteousness. Would you just close your eyes with me as I lead in a prayer of salvation? Jesus, I come to you tonight recognizing that I need you. I need a Savior. I recognize tonight that without you, I'm sitting in great darkness. And I ask that you would shine your light upon me. Jesus, I thank you that you're Emmanuel, the God with us. I thank you that you didn't just abandon me and leave your creation, but you came. You joined us. You died in our place. You came near to me so that I could come near to you. And tonight, I place my faith in who you are, Jesus, and what you did on that cross. And I ask you, Jesus, to come and live inside of my heart. Would you forgive my sin? Would you wash me clean? Would you shine into every dark corner of my life and transform me? Jesus, I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. And so tonight I make you my Savior and I make you my Lord. Father, tonight I also want to pray for those here tonight who have just been struggling with difficult things in their life. Maybe came through the doors tonight really discouraged and really down for whatever reason. God, I pray tonight that you would reveal yourself to them once again. That they would feel your nearness tonight. God, I pray in this time, in this season, that your presence would be so real, so tangible. I pray they would hear your voice. I pray they would feel the strong arms of mighty God holding them, surrounding them, helping them. Oh God, I thank you that you are a present help and a future hope. And for that, we have great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, tonight is a night of great joy. A night of great joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Are you blessed? All right, well, that's our program for you tonight. If you're still in the Christmas spirit in the morning, you'll, I need another Christmas message. My father will be here, and I'll be here tomorrow at 9:15 a.m. We do have a Christmas service as well. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome. January 1 is a special Sunday in our church. We call it Testimony Sunday. We have five stories to share with you, four on video, one live, all people in our church who God has done something spectacular in their life. I've been watching the videos as they've been made this week, and I've had tears in my eyes. I've had joy in my heart. You're going to be blessed. It's going to be a really encouraging Sunday, so January 1 as well. God bless you, everyone. Have a Merry Christmas.